So this morning's message in this series is called The Spoken Authority. The right to exercise our authority, spiritual authority, heavenly authority, has been given to us by God. When Jesus defeated death and took back world dominion from Satan, I showed last week how he got that. All authority was then returned to Christ when Christ got it back for us. Dominion and authority. You see, Jesus was humanity's representative. The second Adam is what he was called, referred to as a title that the Bible gives him. The first Adam messed up. The second Adam got it right. The first Adam lost all authority. The second Adam got all authority back. And then he shared it with us, his followers. Here's just a few passages. You don't need to turn in there this morning, but just read with me on the screen. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. These are demonic principalities and demons, sickness, so forth. And over all the power of the enemy. What power does the enemy have? None. Because who has it? Jesus, and he did what with it? Gave it to us. Gave it to us is the right answer. Answer C. Gave it to all of us. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ephesians 1, verse 20 and 22. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, talking about Christ's authority. He worked, talking about the Father, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. The right hand is the position of authority. The right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's pretty far above, isn't it? And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, including our authority that we have in the church. And then in the very next chapter, Paul continues to write in verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where Christ is at the position of authority, the Bible says that we are now seated with him. What is under his feet is now under our feet as well. So we now have, this is the good part here, if that wasn't good enough. We now have the same authority to walk in Christ's power. The same power he had over sickness, demons, poverty, even death. The very same miracles that Jesus did, we can do too in his name if we can grasp and begin walking in the authority that he has given us. We are called to preach the gospel and make disciples. Would anybody dispute that? If you do, I need to point out the Great Commission to you. Unless we can demonstrate, now here's the kicker in this, unless we can demonstrate the power of the gospel, we are simply another ideology competing with every other religion. Who's to say what is right and what is wrong? Which one is the real one? Which one is not? Yes, changed lives are a great witness to the power of the gospel. That's true. When God sees, I was once lost, but now I can see. I was once blind, now I can see. I was once lost, now I'm found. Those changed lives speak sermons themselves. Like, wow, all right, what you believe and what you walk in is actually true. You say there's a Jesus, I believe it after seeing him work in your life. But that's not the only way. That's not the only way. Yes, changed lives are great, a great witness to the power of the gospel. But even those changed lives are at odds with those who have walked away from the faith. What I mean is like, yeah, I know that guy's changed, but what about that person who's no longer walking with Christ anymore? In fact, I've heard they've become a Jehovah's Witness. Like, okay, all right. So there's a dichotomy of opposition towards each other. But a changed life is a great witness. Don't get me wrong. So God proves His truth by backing up the gospel message with power. A power that He gives to His people. He doesn't tell us to do things and then not help us. That is the great thing about God. Whenever He tells us He's going to do something, He like, and by the way, don't forget to take the grace with you because you're going to need it. When He poured out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Jesus told His disciples, I know you're eager to go out there right now, and I want you to do that because I just told you to, but I want you to wait a few minutes. I want you to wait and go up in this room and wait until power comes down, the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need it. See, God always gives grace when He tells us to do something. So when He tells us to go and preach the gospel, it will be in the demonstration of power to back up the message that He told us to proclaim. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it reads, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. All things. You can go back and read what Jesus commanded us, including dominion over spirits, dominion over death, dominion over disease, dominion over sickness. All things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus tells us to go in His authority, because He's going to be with us whenever we preach His name, and we can expect to do those same things that Jesus did in demonstration in the power of the gospel. But it's not only in the declaration of the gospel that we are to demonstrate power. We are to exercise authority and power against the works of the devil in this world. And that's why he hates this message. He's like, oh, don't tell him. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to remind us of the power that we have in this Bible, in the book that we carry, in the book that we read, in this God that we serve. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We're not shooting with bullets and knives and clubs and swords, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. This is one of the assignments. Yes, we are to preach the gospel, go and make disciples, but at the same time, we are to come against Satan's kingdom on earth and tear it apart. To tear it down, to wage holy war against him and the principalities, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What would be things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God? These would be the lies of the enemy, who either say the things in that book you're reading don't work, or he knows that we don't know what's in it, so he just lies to us all day. Lying against the knowledge that's in the book that we don't know is there. We are to bring down those lies with the truth of God's word. Bringing every thought into captivity. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. But every thought that comes in, there's a gate. We call it Checkpoint Charlie. I heard somebody talk about it one time. Checkpoint Charlie is back in the Vietnam War. This guy worked a gate for the Army. And it was his job to check everybody that came through that gate. If they had the proper credentials, he'd raise the gate. They would go in, put the gate back down. The next person comes in. If they didn't have the proper credentials, he'd go, this gate is not coming up. Our mind is supposed to operate the same way. Every thought, or I certainly don't mean every thought. I mean every thought. That comes to our mind that is like, is that me or is that somewhere else? We're to think about the Word of God. Like, is that in line with Scripture or is that something else? Is that a lie? If it's a lie, we don't let it in. We keep the gate down. But if it's the thought of God, you have the proper credentials, Lord, come on in. Raise the gate. We got our guide. We have to guard our minds and bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means when that thought comes in, either I'm going to agree with the devil or I'm going to agree with what God says. hopefully we choose to agree with what God says in His Word. Let's keep moving. So one of the primary ways we do this is through spoken word. Generally speaking, our words hold power. Generally, all humans have power, albeit limited, in the very words we speak. Here's what Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Means what we speak coming out of our mouth, either life or death, and our words can bring those into reality. It says it right here. I'm not making this up. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So if you just love speaking curses, love speaking negative, love complaining, guess what's going to be created in your life? Yeah, that's right. But if you think on those things above and not below, you speak blessings over people, blessings over yourself, your children, your neighbors, blessing over your cars, blessing over your things, guess what we're going to have in our life? We're going to have life. We're going to have life. It says life and death are in the tongue, and our words matter. And this is just generally speaking. It's not talking about the children of Christ. This is just generally speaking. We are being reminded that humanity has limited power in our words. We were created in God's image. And this is why we have limited power. Last week, I listed a few ways that we were made in His image. Another way is in the words we speak. They have authority, albeit limited authority, just as God does. Now, in Genesis 1, I won't turn there this morning, but if you're familiar with the days of creation, how did God make everything? He spoke it. Through all the steps that He made, that He brought into creation, it said, and God said, and God said, God spoke, and it was. God said, God spoke. We are made in His image. Thus, we have a limited ability, and I'll show you why it's limited. We have the ability to speak life or death because we have a facsimile of God's nature in every living person. But in Genesis 2:20, we see that authority, the reason we have authority to speak is because we see that Adam has been given authority to name the animals. To name something is ultimate authority, especially back in Hebrew, the Hebrew times, they understood that. If you were the person that named things, you're the ones that had authority over the things you name. So as we read this passage in Genesis 2:20, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible to him. Everybody can say, oh, Adam. Oh, Adam. Good news, there was something good coming right around the corner. Susie took a nap. And that's a good thing. A woman came along right after that. A woman came along. She is a good thing. She is a good thing. Whoa, man, indeed. So we see here in Genesis 2:20 that Adam, thus humanity, was given authority. And in this time, he had complete authority. He was naming everything that God had created. That's a lot of authority. We are supposed to infer that Adam had God's authority and understood that there was power and authority to name things. But the next point is, we fell short. We fell and we lost God's authority to rule over all created things when we disobeyed Him. And this included our ability to speak with absolute God-given authority. We lost that. Our words still carried power. For instance, in the proverb we just read, but they had limitations when it came to defeating Satan, declaring victory over sickness, disease, demons, poverty, and so on. Here's the good news. When Jesus defeated Satan, both at the cross and through the resurrection of the dead, He regained that power, and then He gave it to us. He gave it back to us. I think you dropped this. Excuse me. You know, it's something like that. Hey, you left this. You lost it. I found it for you. Bonnie Jo was looking for her phone today. Everybody pray for Bonnie Jo that she would find her phone in the name of Jesus. And somebody would say, hey, I think you lost this is what you've been looking for. So now, when He gave us back the power, we speak with authority and power again, as we first did in the garden. Once again, we are in partnership with God in bringing the kingdom of God to earth, which was initiated 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ when his arrival upon the earth. Are there diseases, demons, strongholds, principalities in heaven? No. And the kingdom of heaven has been brought to earth. The power of heaven has, in fact, been unleashed on earth through God's people. This power is manifested as we enforce God's spiritual laws. We, as God's law enforcement officers, as I talked about last week, must go about proclaiming and enforcing his truth. That is our job. Spiritual laws, we enforce his spiritual laws and promises. Now, I say spiritual laws to distinguish them from the law, the Ten Commandments and the law and the Torah. Please know I'm not talking about that law. When I'm talking about spiritual laws, I'm talking about promises that God has given us, things that he has commanded us to do because they are truth, and his truth is a law that they will always be so. They will not fade away. They will not be discounted. They will not lose their effectiveness even in our time. So there is a distinction. So I'll continue to call it spiritual law, but if I slip up and actually call it God's laws, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. So the primary way that we do this, we declare his promises and his truth, is by decreeing God's spiritual laws and promises through our voice. Now I have a slide here. Yet it's not enough to agree with God's word by merely speaking them. Well, I was like, well, I think the Bible says, thou shalt not fear. The Bible says thou shalt not fear. Don't fear. Bible says, no, I'm pretty sure the Bible says don't fear. That in of itself is, we're confusing ourselves. We're not sure. So there are three needed ingredients needed to see God's power manifest. The first is we must be convinced of our God-given authority. The second is we must believe in God's word and then demonstrate it through faith. Those three things. Now I'm going to talk, those are my 3 points for this message this morning. So let's look briefly at them. Let's look at the first one. Believe that we have God-given authority. Now, there is a way to communicate authority, and there is a way not to communicate authority. When I said, I think we're not supposed to fear, fear be gone. Some fear sprites may say, all right, well, they have limited, they have some authority. I'll get out of here because this is a danger zone right here. But we are to, if once we believe our authority, everything should change about our declaration and our projection of that. Back when I was in the academy, police academy, the reason I talk a lot of police stories is because that was the place where authority was conferred upon me, and then they taught us how to walk in authority. So back when I was in there, they had this training day on, they called it clearing the bar. And when you walk into a crowded bar and something's happened and everybody has to leave, you walk in with authority, but you need to speak like you have authority, like you're not there to mess around or to shoot pool with somebody. So we had these, well, I'm not going to pick on them. There were some folks in my platoon who, when they were told, okay, now go ahead, act like you're in a bar right now and clear it. And this guy had his voice like, who was the guy that used to trade furniture on Green Acres? Mr. Whip, what was his name? You guys are going to date yourself, but go ahead and yell it out if you got it. Mr. Hanley, or Haney, Haley, or something like that. Haney, Mr. Haney. Okay, clear the bar. Clear the bar. This sounded like a rooster at the end of his thing. I'm telling you, he'd probably more likely be punched in the head than anybody actually clearing the bar. Now, here's the way you walk in and clear the bar. Clear the bar! There is a difference, and people are going to sit down there and go, I'm leaving. That dude has authority. That is the way you speak with authority. And the way you get there is you got to believe that you have the authority. Any parent that if you like, you're talking to your kid, yeah, we're supposed to talk nice to him. Go, Johnny, can you clean your room, you know, clean your room. They're going to like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. But man, when you walk in the room, listen, mister, you get in there and clean your room. The way that you can speak to him like that is because you have authority and you can bring down the hammer if you need to. We, as believers of Christ, need to walk and talk in our authority like that. Jesus modeled the way it should look. Turn in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 11. Though you can't read tone in words, you can sense the annoyance of Christ in the way he speaks. And then we will see what happens. I guarantee you, he didn't just whisper it, and he didn't have an uncertainty in his voice. So look at verse 12 in Mark chapter 11. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. That's Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Now there's a lot going on in this story and some profound messages undergirding it. But we're talking about his speaking authority today. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And it should have had something. If it had leaves, it should have had figs on it by then. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." See, he's kind of teed off, but we don't catch that tone in just the words. So in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from you ever again." He meant it. And his disciples heard it. So he didn't whisper it. He said it. He spoke it out loud. Remember, Jesus was part of creation, creating the world, creating everything in it. I guarantee God just didn't whisper it. "Let there be sunlight." Man, he like yelled it out, man. Like the heavens spread out with the voice of God and the power behind it. And Jesus was right there in every word that God spoke. So now jump down to verse 20. So a lot happened. They went in town. Some things happened. Jesus cleared a temple and those things. And now they're walking back. So look at verse 20. Now in the morning, the next day, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done." So he's talking about authority and the authority to speak in God's power. Those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Remember that Jesus said, we'll do the same things he did. So whatever you say, whatever Jesus did, are those things that we can expect. But Jesus commanded specifically here, if you'll just look at this passage in your Bibles. Notice three things here. We must speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. This morning in praying for Amber, I didn't plan on this. But as I spoke healing to Amber, I spoke to the pain, back pain. That's her mountain. I spoke to it. Whatever your mountain is, speak to that thing. Speak to it. Name it. Name it. Remember, when we name things, we have authority. We speak and we name it. And then the second thing is, if you'll notice, Jesus believed that what he said was going to happen. There was expectation. In our authority to speak to the mountain, we must also accompany it with expectation. That's where belief comes in. We expect it to happen. When I tell my son to clean his room, and I speak in that daddy voice or mommy voice, he knows we mean business, and then we expect to see that happen. In fact, we already see it in our mind. He's clean. He's clean. I see him in there sweating and working to clean, to make this a perfect room. So belief is tied to expectation. We're going to talk a little more next week about using our imagination. It's God-given. This isn't New Age jumbo, mumbo jumbo. God has given us imagination. In fact, I'll just touch on this right now. Whenever we have fear, we're looking ahead to fear, like, oh man, and we start imagining things happening. That's fear. That's using our imagination, but it's using it in the wrong way. God gave us an imagination to use in the right way. And so we began to see things instead of fearful things, images of fears and movies playing through our mind. We see things the way God has ordained things in His Word. So we speak with authority and we believe that it's going to happen. And we expect that we will see what we have proclaimed and decreed. Therefore, speak confidently. And the third point of this is this little passage. This verse contains a spiritual law. Did anybody catch it? A spiritual law. Speak to your mountain. It will be moved. It will be cast into the sea. Believe. Jesus spoke it. Therefore, it is true. And if it's true, it's a spiritual law. We are God's law enforcers. We have God's authority to speak as He commanded us to speak. It was true then, it is true now, and it will always be true. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your mountain. So the second thing we must have, as we go to the next point, the second thing we must have is belief and faith in God's power. I'm turning your Bibles to Matthew 17. Have I lost anybody this morning? Am I flying out of my cuckoo nest? All right. So just to kind of set the context, Jesus had sent out His disciples with power and authority, and they began to do things in Jesus' name. Amazing things. They were so excited. They came back. In another instance, they came back, told Jesus, Jesus, you were right. We can do all these things. In this particular instance, they could not heal a boy that was having seizures. I believe that the sight of the boy foaming at the mouth and all freaked out and probably yelling curses and things, I think it just scattered their belief a little bit. And they couldn't cast the demon out. So the father comes to Jesus and he begs Jesus to do it. So picking up in verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. We're going to talk a little bit more about this next week as well and what we put into our mind that steals our belief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. We're also going to talk about His promises that have conditions attached to them. Do you see the condition here? If you have faith as a mustard seed. So we must reach the point where when we declare God's spiritual laws and promises that they will come to pass. Now, it takes time to develop this kind of faith. But it will come if we persist. It's a promise. Maybe not on our first 10 or even 20 tries, or maybe not even on our 900th attempt. But don't give up, because it's a promise given to us. It's the Word of God that we believe, and when we believe it and begin to exercise it and profess it, we are submitting to His Word. And here's what they say about that in James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is a promise. That is a promise. Two conditions. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Even if you don't see some of these answers to prayers and declarations the first 100 times, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Persist. The devil will flee. It's a promise that we have. And again, we're going to train a little more on this in the next coming weeks. It takes practice until our subconscious actually believes what we are speaking. However, every time we practice, we are stepping out in faith. This morning was an exercise of faith and praying and declaring and believing all over this sanctuary. And I believe that God is going to respond to those prayers. We may not always see them instantly, but we've set forth in motion faith. And faith is what God blesses. Faith pleases God. So we're stepping out in faith when we practice these things. And soon enough, we will reach the point when we will see the results that we expect when we lay hands on people and pray for them. Jesus spoke in this manner. His power is in us. He has commanded us. He has given us his authority. We will see it. But don't listen to the lie like, oh, it doesn't work. Walk in faith. Walk in faith in God's power and in his word. And that brings us to the final point for today. To demonstrate our authority and power by putting faith into action. Turning your Bibles now to Acts chapter 3. We're almost done here this morning. I'm just kidding. Did you ever wonder how like that doesn't get on microphones when people do that? You got to really try. You got to try to make that noise when it gets on microphone. All right, is everybody in Acts chapter 3? All right. This is a great story. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So Jesus has already ascended back to the Father. The disciples have been filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Now they are going out into the world to do the things that Jesus had commanded them to do. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, that's the man that they laid outside there, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, so this that word in Greek for fixing there is not only that he stared at him, but there was an understanding, a discernment on the healing that the guy really needed in his life. He didn't need money. He needed healing. He needed to be touched by God. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Now, can you see the authority in this? It's not ends with a question mark. Ends with a period. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have," who has it? He has it. It says it right here. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, the man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So a couple things to pick out from this. Peter knew that he had the authority to command the man's eyes to be open. He knew it. He knew it. He said, "Look at me. I don't have any money, but what I have you," what did he have? He had authority and power. "What I have, I give you. I give you my authority." Why did he have that authority? Because Jesus had already given it to him. It was Jesus' authority. It wasn't Peter's authority. It was Jesus' authority in him that Peter had now and had the right to use. In fact, even commanded to use. And then he spoke out loud in his big boy voice. In the name of Jesus, I'm sure he didn't whisper it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then he spoke the rest. He believed that he would receive exactly what he had spoken in Jesus' name. Do you see a confidence in here as well? I want to assure you, we will get there. For us, it will be baby steps, but we'll get there if we persevere. Next week, I'm going to touch on God's conditional laws and promises, meaning that, as we saw, some of the conditions must be met before his laws are enforceable, and we'll talk more about that. But I will conclude with three points today. The first is, our words matter. Be careful about speaking life or speaking death. Speaking over yourself, speaking over your children, your spouse, fellow classmates. I had a doctor's appointment this week, and he was working on something just unrelated, sticking some needles in the back of my hamstring. That felt awesome, by the way. Great guy, knew what he's doing, but he saw that my name was Robin, and let's see, was it? Oh, and he had, so Robin, it could be a girl's name or it could be a boy's name. Traditionally, if you spell it with an I, it's a boy's name. But it could go either way. I've seen girls spelled with that. He also had a name that could go either way. His name was Dana, if I believe right. And so just out of the blue, he says, man, you and I are cursed. Meaning, and I go, what do you mean? He's like, well, we both have names that could be interpreted as girls' names. And then at that point, I could have said, you're right. Yeah, we both have girls' names. Just let it go by. But no, I canceled the curse because I know words have power. And I go, in the name of Jesus. I said that under my breath. I was like, in the name of Jesus. And then I said, no, I canceled that curse. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. He's like, all right, let me stick some more needles in you. Yeah, you know, like, but the point is, our words have power. We need to be careful of the words we speak. This dumb car, you know, okay, now you're going to drive a dumb car. It's going to break down a lot. You know, this idiot. All right, now, you know, my child, he, you know, my daughter, she's an idiot. Well, guess what? You're going to have an idiot for a child. You know, our words have power and authority. We have got to speak blessings instead of curses. You guys get the point. The second point is we need to speak to our mountains. I'll tell you, if you're battling stuff, and I know we prayed for people all over this place today. Speak to your mountain, whatever your mountain is. Tell it to be healed. Tell it to be gone. Tell, I don't receive you. I reject you. I know it's not an issue of denying something that's there. It's an issue of falling in line with God's word. God's word says I am healed. God says I am the God who heals all your diseases. I pray by his stripes we've been healed. We need, these are in the Bible. So we stand on that authority and we speak to our mountains. Pain, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And again, it may not leave the first time. It may not leave the 100th time, but keep doing it. Because if it's an affliction from the enemy, it has to leave. We resist it by saying, nope, not on this watch. Not on this watch. And then the third is, we must put faith and authority into action. We've got to be willing to look foolish. Coming up here and praying for people all over, declaring God's word, declaring his truth, and it doesn't happen right then. And the devil's right there. See? It doesn't work. Shut up. Get away from me. I believe God's word, and I'm going to keep, even if I look like a fool. I'll tell you, a couple years ago, I had to walk through this. I had to wrestle through these very things we're talking about in burying two people from our church here. Dick Lamb and Larry Meganhart. Both of those men we brought up here. Karen Alexander back a few years ago. Brought up, laid hands on, praying. Declaring scripture, declaring authority. Both of them died. All three of them died, actually. You know, they now understand there's an appointed day for all of us to die. And just because I'm declaring authority and power in God's scripture over, there's another will at work there. There may, you know, for whatever reason, God didn't heal them right there. He allowed them to die. I need to be okay with that, knowing that God is good, that his decisions and his ways are higher than my ways. I don't understand why it doesn't work at times, but I do understand that we have authority, that we have power at our disposal, that it is God's will that we be healed and that demons flee, the dead are raised again, blind eyes see, deaf ears hear. That is our inheritance. And so I will be willing to make myself look foolish in front of the enemy or others, even though I don't see what I'm declaring, but I will persist and I will persevere because I know God's word has power. I know our authority is real, and I know what he commands, when he commands us to do, he will give us the authority to walk in it. And I want to encourage you with those same things today. This can't be a one-man effort. This has to be an effort by the entire church to lay hands on each other, to command spirits to leave, to command wellness, to command sickness to leave, to command blind eyes to open and deaf ears to hear. It is all of us. It's not just my job. It's all of us. And we can all move and experience God's power in this place together if we're all moving in that direction. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came, they were all in one accord, which means they were all going the same direction, waiting for God's power to come, and it fell, and it will fall on us. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. We just got to persevere. And it's not just the pastor that has the mojo. It's not. And I use that term loosely. It's a worldly term. But what I'm saying is all of us have the power, the resurrection power in us if we are followers of Jesus Christ. And when we step out in faith and begin to use it and use it, it will please God. Because here, I want to end with this verse here. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that's what we're doing. We're earnestly seeking God. And I expect that God is going to show up in mighty ways, because we are also proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ here. And there will be demonstration of power. We're not just another church sitting down the row. We're not just another religion on religion row. This is a church where Jesus Christ is preached, is believed, and disciples for Jesus are made. And there will be an accompanying of power. I decree it right now. There will be an accompanying of a power behind the message for not just the pastor or elders or leadership, but before everyone who believes and walks in their authority here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be so. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, many of us know these things. We just need to be reminded of the authority that's been given to us and the power that is for ours to use, your power. We thank you for your word that has power. Your words are law. We're just the cops enforcing your spiritual laws. We're spiritual cops. Father, I thank you for the power. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace. Lord, we know you've commanded us to do something, so we know that you'll give us the grace to do it. Father, we earnestly seek you, and we'll seek you by faith, believing that you will accomplish the purposes for which your word has been set in place and has gone forth, and it will not return void. We thank you, Lord, and I thank you for all those that have heard this message today. Lord, for some, this is the first time they've ever heard it. I say, is this true? It's absolutely true. And if you're here this morning, you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you just, with no one looking around, I just want to give you a quick opportunity to make an eternal commitment. If you believe and if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. If you want a relationship with Christ, personal relationship, to have your sins forgiven, to be given a clean slate in life, no matter what you've done in the past, it'll be gone. Forgiveness will be extended to you by the power of God. You will be given a new spirit. If you've not made a decision for Jesus Christ, you have an old spirit. You have an old Adam spirit that's dead in you. When this life is over, you will not be able to go into the presence of God because you need an eternal and a life-given spirit for that. But the Holy Spirit is willing to do just that this morning. So with no one looking around, I'm going to ask that if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ and to commit your life to Him, this is not just a Sunday morning decision here in September 2025. This is a decision that will change the course of your life if you stick to it, if you mean it from the bottom of your heart. So with no one looking around, if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would raise your hand and you would keep it up, and I will lead you through a prayer. And if you mean it from your heart, the Bible says you confess it and you believe it, you will be saved. It is that easy. But really, it's a decision of life and death. So it has eternal significance. So with no one looking around, I want to ask you, you would raise your hand if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. Anyone over here? Anyone over here? Lord, we've put the opportunity out one more time. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I'm excited to see the days that are coming for our congregation, for this town, for our communities. Lord, as this church begins to walk in demonstration of power, Lord, we will see it. We thank you, God, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Have an amazing week. I know last week I gave you the challenge to look at God's promises through his Bible. I want to continue to do that this week. I looked at Psalm 34, and there were like 17 promises of God there. I was like, whoa, I never saw that before. That's your homework this week. We'll talk more about it next week. God bless you.